Yeah, it's all. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No, we can't. Okay. I'll just go ahead and speak like a man. I was just trying to be gentle. God says, Mark, please be gentle and kind. And I said, okay, Lord. Well, so Father, right now, Lord, you know, your people came out tonight, Lord, and you knew who was going to be here. And Lord, I just want to thank you for what you're about to do and the message that you have. Lord, I know that as we get into this, you'll fill the hearts and minds of those that have ears to hear. And Lord, you're going to change lives, change and move mountains, Lord. And Lord, you know, I just pray that people would just say, you know, Lord, I want more of you at the end of this message. Lord, I just want more of you, Lord, as they hear your word, Lord, that it'll grow. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I was getting ready, and I was praying and asking the Lord, okay, so what are we doing? And didn't hear much. You ever have that happen when you're getting yourself together? And I had a lot of thoughts. I had a lot of directions I thought I might share out, but, you know, I didn't want it to be Mark's thoughts or Mark's direction or Mark's plan. You know, I wanted to have the Lord do the talking, you know. So I learned on my trips. I was just telling Belen, because of this situation right now, I can remember a time when I was in Africa and I was with my friend Roy, and we were in this church, and there were a lot of people there, and they were praising and worshiping the Lord, and you know, it was loud and boisterous, and people were going off. And then while all this was going on, I'm sitting there with Roy, and I'm hanging on to his leg, you know, because I was glued to him everywhere we went, and I just have a lot of respect for him because of his commitment to God. And you know, and I just see God in him every time he gets up. And so I'm like, Roy, so what are you going to share on today? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? I go, come on, what are you going to share? He goes, that's up to God. I'm not really sure, you know. And he goes, sometimes he doesn't give me a clue until I stand up, you know. And I was just like, wow. And so today's one of those kind of days. And so I was like, And I was amazed, honestly, because when he opened up his mouth, because, you know, over there, there's a lot of honoring one another before the message. So you'll get introduced, and then and there's, you know, somebody, they introduce each other and then make a note of each other ministry that's there and have them stand up and, you know, honor them. And so there's a lot of, it takes a while before you actually get to the message. And I'm watching all this, and I'm thinking, what is he going to do when he gets up there, you know? And so, I mean, man, it was powerful. I mean, I could tell you other things, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, he had an upset stomach. And so, you know, he had to run out to the restroom, and there was no, you know, it's not like here. And so they just have a hole in the ground. Just to see what people go through to share, you know, the good news and to share with people. And like I said, it's just an honor to get to do anything for God on any level at all. And so, and I know in this group here, this is a big, you know, a lot of us are leadership here. And so, I wanted to share what I wanted to share. I'll just go ahead and say that. I think I can do that. I wanted to share about how Jesus, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert, and he spent some time out there. And after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry, you know, and I can imagine, because it only takes 2 hours for me, and I'm hungry. But he was out there 40 days, And then Satan came and started tempting him, yeah, you're hungry. Why don't you turn this rock into a loaf of bread, And he had his comeback, and he said, I'm not going to do that. Man doesn't live on bread alone, And I wanted to kind of go over that a little bit. And then when he went out there, he was led by the Holy Spirit. And then when he came out of the desert, it says he was, not only was he full of the Holy Spirit, but he also was full of power, And I know that in order to do anything, supernatural for God, as we open up and we become a broadcaster for Him, we've got to tap into that power. And so, and I noticed it wasn't too long after that, because he went down and started healing people right away. Once he came out, that the ministry began, and he started healing people. And you guys know the stories, you've read the Gospels, but then he went and then he wanted to go and started praying, it says, while he was praying, he ended up praying all night, and then the next day, what did he do? He picked out the 12. So they were, he called them out of, there was a crowd of people, and he called out the names, and they came up. And I'm just looking at you guys, and I'm thinking, this was going to be great, I was going to say, hey, look at us, we're like those guys. Look at, God called you, when you got the call, to be here, to be part of the ministry. Do you remember that day when you made the commitment? Like, that was your time. So when Jesus called, what did they do? They answered the call. And I was like, wow. I remember getting the call. Terry called and said, Mark, I know we've only been here, a month or so, but, I've been praying since you got here. And God's saying, Mark, pick Mark to be the associate. And when that happened, because before that, I was here 2 weeks. And then I was asked to be on the elder board. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? And at first I just thought, oh, I'm just going to be there for a little bit because, Pastor Jack's about to go to heaven. And I wanted, and that was all I wanted to do, was just be here with you guys. Because I've known you guys a long time. And I hadn't been here for a while, but I wanted to be here with the people. I've got a lot of friends, acquaintances, and I love the people here, And so God's appointed me to be an elder again. And I was honored. I was touched. But when Terry called about the associate pastor, then I realized we're getting serious, really serious now. And I didn't want to just say yes, just because it's a good position I'm not really into the positions or the titles. I just wanted to say yes to God, I want to say yes, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. But he was rebuilding me at that time. And he just reestablished my ministry in just a short amount of time. The big thing that happened, though, was there was a change of heart. And so I ended up getting, that's what, on our elder board meeting the other day, we were talking about Solomon, and now it's at the end of his life, and he's out on the battlefield. He'd already been told that he conjured up the prophet Samuel through a medium, that he said, hey, if anybody does that, we're going to take them out. No one's allowed to do that. And here he's the one sneaking in to get some advice from the medium, because he hadn't been in a right relationship with God for a long, 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 long time. I related to that. And so, because I was out of commission for about 4 years. And so I'm thinking about all this stuff. And a couple of things came up in the meeting, and that's what I want to start with. Okay, so we'll go over to 1 Samuel chapter 31. You guys know where it's at, right? Matthew, I've got a Bible for you, but it's at home. I didn't know you were coming tonight, or I would have brought it for you. But you got one now, okay? Just so you know. Brand new. And it's a good one. So now we're at the end of 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 31. And let me see here. So the armies are getting ready to go at it, and but Saul had already been told through the spirit of Samuel, and I don't know if that's him literally, but it says it was him, so that's what the word says. That's what I'm going with. And so, but he was reminded of what the reason why he wasn't God wasn't going to answer his prayers or help him out was because he was. He had disobeyed God, and through all of that, he decided to not repent or try to get really be sincere from a heartfelt sorrow and get back in a right relationship with God. And so a lot of years went by for him, and he ended up being told by Samuel that he was going to die, and that the army were going to lose the battle because of what he had done. And so he didn't have much hope at this point, but we'll just start up right here in verse 1. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. And this is a big verse for me anyway. It's Saul groaned to his armor bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through, thanks Terry, and taunt and torture me." And so here he groaned and, you know, he was in agony. He was injured, but the armor bearer was afraid and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul and his three sons, his armor bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. And, you know, I got something right there with the armor bearer showed us an example of what it looks like when you're loyal and when you're all in. He was all in. He did not want to kill his king. He honored his king. He was his armor bearer. He wanted to show him, you know, he did not want to do evil, and he wanted to back him up, and he decided that he would take and allow himself. He was going to go down with the ship. He was all in to the point of death. He was not going to go against his king, and since there was no, you know, his king had died, he didn't want to go back and have to tell anybody, like, look, I let him down, like, you know. So when he saw his king fall on his sword, he fell on his. And so I just remembered at that point how every single apostle all ended up dying in one way or another for their king, our king, Jesus. And I was amazed by that. Jesus called them all out. Now, there was one. There's always that one. And we're going to look at something else. I'm going to keep going here. So verse 7, when the Israelites on the other side of Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israel army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. Okay, the next day when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his three sons on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death in their pagan temple and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. They placed his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths, and they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Bethshan. Now, verse 11. But when the people of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Bethshan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. These guys were from Saul's hometown, basically. That's where Saul, when he was anointed king, he lived what was called Gibeah of Saul, was that little community. And he was out there working his field with his oxen. And, you know, there was a reason why these guys came to tear down Saul's body off the wall. And I'm sure some of you Bible scholars probably know the reason, but before we get into that, I just want to say that so Saul for 40 years disobeyed. He just wouldn't get right. And Pastor Terry said the other day, I heard it, he said it's because he had a root of bitterness in his heart. He was bitter. Do you remember when David, when the women were singing and saying, you know, pray. Saul got his thousands, but David got his tens of thousands. And I think that might be where it started for him. Like, hey, he was jealous. I'm going to cough. Okay. So he started to get jealous, and then he ended up going later. He went after David and wanted to kill him. And he just chased him down for a while. But so Saul, his heart had grown hard to a point where even after knowing he was going to die, he still didn't cry out to God. And so, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind playing that first song, this is where he was. Just listen, quietly listen. No, do I need to?
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you. Love, please. please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold.
Yeah, it's a short song, but I think that would be a good place for Saul to have been, to know that, hey, to realize like, hey, I need to get right with God. And I'm sure God gave him many chances because he always does. Look at how many times he gave us chances, you know. We've been very fortunate. I'm living on pure love with grace and mercy from God. From Jesus himself. He came and rescued me again. And it happens again and again in our lives. And so, and then I thought back, well, these guys came from his hometown. And over in chapter... chapter, I think it's 15. I was being good, but I didn't write it down right. Okay. Of 1 Samuel, I just wanted to share on, I believe where he's from. It says it in there. Let me make sure. Maybe it's a little further back. Yeah. Let's go back to chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. And I want to use Saul because he's a great example. He really, really is. Let's look quickly. We'll start in verse 24. It says, "Then Samuel said to all the people, 'This is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him.'" He's talking about Saul. And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people what the rights and duties of a king were. He wrote them down on a scroll and placed it before the Lord. Then Samuel sent the people home again. When Saul returned to his home at Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. So God had blessed Saul with the kingdom, you know, to make him king. And then he also touched some men's hearts around him. Look at us. God has touched our hearts to work here along with Pastor Terry as we work in this ministry to help the people here. And not only here, but as we go out into this world, We're representing God, and this little ministry is valuable. It's important. It's got some power because we're putting God first. We're preaching the uncompromised word of God, and we don't compromise that, you know. And that's where people get in trouble. We can compromise because God's not going to make you live for him, make you pray, make you read your Bible. You're doing that in a response to his love toward you. And now I know when I'm not doing that, but my heart's saying I want to, but my flesh is saying, "Oh, later, man, let's watch this show, or let's do this, or let's do that." And I know we all do those things. I know it's part of life. But when we grow, that changes as we get closer and closer to him. We're ready to give up more and more. So, okay. And so, okay, let me move on because otherwise I'm going to go another 3 more hours. Quiet. Okay. Let's see. So let's get down to some of the punchlines now. So verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he became very angry. He took 2 oxen and cut them up into pieces and sent messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message. This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle. And so what had happened was he heard the bad news about the people of Gad on the other side of the river and Reuben had been getting their eyes gouged out by this king. And they were he was taking out their right eye, and then they put making them serve him. And so and they were crying, and then they had come across the river, and now they were in Saul's area, in his hometown, Jabesh Gilead. That was the town that this king Nahash was coming to, and he was saying, okay, we're taking you guys out, or you can become our servants. And we're going to humiliate you by gouging your eye out. And so, and here they said, well, okay, give us some time. Give us, you know, I don't remember how many minutes or many days, but it wasn't long. And so we're going to see if there's somebody that will come and save us. And so, and that king agreed. And so the time had passed. And so that's when Saul made this decree, like, hey, everybody come on, because he heard the bad news of what this guy was doing, and he got angry, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And so God filled Saul. So he understood that. He had experienced God in a very powerful way. And just like you and me, he was a man, but he was a man that got to experience the Spirit of God in his life. And that's life-changing. That right there is, like, when you have that experience, no matter what else you get in life, nothing satisfies like the Spirit of God, like God himself, you know. In those days, you know, we have Jesus. We have God. Come on. Okay, so and then I'm just gonna skip up chapter 19 in 1 Samuel. Where am I going with this? I don't know, but God does. I don't mean it like that. Like, I don't really know the direction. I'm just being led by God, and that's, and I know that. I'm confident that when I open my mouth that he's going to say something, because Mark's not going to give a good word. Mark's a lot like Saul, you know? And Mark needs to let the Holy Spirit do the talking. So chapter 19, verse 23. But on the way to Naoth in Ramah, the Spirit of God came even upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy all the way to Naoth. He tore off his clothes and lay naked on the ground all day and all night, prophesying in the presence of Samuel. The people who were watching exclaimed, "What? Is even Saul a prophet?" He had already been chasing David down. I mean, he had sinned against God. He had the kingdom pulled away from him. He was on his way. He was trying to track down David and kill him. The next one that God had already anointed through Samuel. I mean, come on. But even God still came upon Saul to remind him, hey, you know, he was giving him another taste, another chance. And that's important to know, that we need to know that God is a God of mercy. He's a God of patience. Oh my gosh. You know, you and me, if somebody's doing us like that, oh, we're not going to let it last too long, because, you know, you only put up with so much. And I just think, I mean, man, you know, and then, I mean, Jesus, he hung on the cross for all of that. I mean, God is so good, man. And then, you know, there was a difference between him and David. Now, David, at this point, at the end of Samuel, remember, he's living with the Philistines now. I mean, and he began to compromise. And he had gotten himself over there with those guys, and he was about to march against Saul at that battle, but he was pulled away, and God took him back and said, no, you know, you didn't tell him like that, but he made sure that he couldn't go. But what was beautiful was that even David began to pray again, and he sought the Lord, and amen. And he took away all David's fears. Because, yeah, well, I mean, if God is for you, who is against? Who's going to be against you? I mean, I love the fact that armor bearer was an honorable servant along with King Saul, because he showed what it looks like. We should be like that with our king. You know, we should be ready to go. And I loved it the other day. We were here. We were going to do communion. And Terry asked me if I was going to come up. And he goes, "Well, you want me to do it?" And I said, "You do it." And he goes, "It's my honor and privilege to get to do this." And then he got up and did it. It was great. And it was a great example for me, because I wasn't feeling so good at that moment, you know. And I was having trouble with my eyes. I couldn't see good. And I was a bit nervous. I mean, I'll be honest. I get nervous. I know none of you guys do, because you've been walking with the Lord a lot longer than me. But, man, I get nervous sometimes. I still do. I mean, you know. But you know what? But I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I just get nervous. Because it's a big deal. It is a big deal. You know, you guys came down here to hear from God. That to me is a big deal. I take that seriously, you know? And so, but I thank God right now, because we're going to play the other song right now, because, you know, Saul, as he came out and became the king, he then later was just about as bad as Saul for a while, doing all kinds of evil. But there came a point in a time when God came to him again. And what did he do? Play the song, Jeff.
Creating me a clean heart. right spirit within me, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, from thy presence, O Lord. O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Renew a right spirit within me.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Sing it to Jesus. And renew a right spirit within me. Close your eyes and worship. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence.
Cast me not away.
Spirit,
take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me
the joy of thy salvation.
The joy of thy salvation.
And renew a right spirit.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Okay, can we hear me? Awesome. Yeah, so your call, you've been called. You answered the call. You've been appointed into this position. Somebody had to give you the position. Who do you think that somebody is? It's God. Just like this Bible was written by God. This is His word. Men wrote it down. But God, right? And so you have been appointed, and I'm going to share one other thing. You have also been anointed. You, just like, and David got that. He understood that. He understood that Saul had been anointed by God, that God chose Saul. So he did, because of that alone, he was never going to hurt Saul, no matter what Saul did to him. Because that David had that kind of the fear of the Lord, the right kind of the fear of the Lord, respect and a love for him. And so, and that's what we have here. And that's what we're working on. We're getting better at that, is having respect for one another, honoring one another, living according to the ways that this word prescribes, describes, and has us to do. And so we encourage each other, we help each other when we get a little off course maybe, but we do it with the right spirit. And that's how we get that right spirit, by spending time with Him on our knees and in prayer and in His word and getting around each other. Because you guys have really encouraged me, and I hope I'm encouraging you, because I really feel like that's one of my gifts. And I mean, I know we all get a gift, but I always ask for more, because I want to have whatever people need. Like Jesus had them all. And I just thank God that for you all. And I just pray that you got something out of this, and that and I thank God that He is reigning here. And that there's a world. Now, do you know, you guys realize it's been 10 days since Easter? So we're already 10 days closer to the end. I mean, we're in the third day. And so we're already entering into that time. He can come back anytime. He's on his way. He's not going to leave us behind. He's coming back. And I'm just saying, look, they had to wait to get the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And so just keep that in mind. Like, hey, there's even more. He wants to give us even more. And so I'm praying for that for all of us, that we all get even more of his Holy Spirit so we can get the job done. These guys went out into those towns, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had given them authority over unclean spirits and be able to do everything he was doing, praying for people, and they were getting healed. It's changing the way I think to the point where it's going to change the way I pray for people, because, I mean, when you have authority, there's a different position that you're coming from. So I know as a leader in my business, when I need to get something done, I can tell somebody, and they've got to do what I say because I'm their boss. I'm going to give them their paycheck come the weekend, you know? And so I know that when Jesus says, hey, I've given you all authority, and that's a question, do I have it or don't I? And that's what you've got to get from God. You got to know if you've got authority. But that's another topic. So anyway, I just want to thank God. And who would like to pray us out? You want to pray us out, Sammy? Come on, Sammy.